Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Today is Saturday, the 22nd of Safar in the year 1442 Hijri, which corresponds to Saturday, October 10th, 2020. You are listening to From a Stranger to a Stranger. My name is Asa Martel, and welcome back for another episode. I'm reading this book, which is about the comparison of two different madhhabs, you would call them in Arabic Islamic terminology, but it's like two different schools of thought. And this is the book that I'm reading is just specifically about the differences in understanding, like some of the attributes of Allah, in this, and mainly like the attributes that are mentioned in the Quran, that Allah possesses. Allah being the word for God, or the Creator. God, when you use the word God, right, from an English perspective, I feel that it is a very limiting term. Generally, you have some idea that it's relegated to like a human type of look or being, you know, particularly because we are basically a Western European culture, and Christianity being the religion that is, you know, the concept of God there is basically that one part of God was human. So, you know, there is that. But even like you have paintings, like old paintings, you know, and in movies and stuff, God is depicted as like an older guy with a white beard and stuff. That's what I mean by limiting. And also you can term the word God, you can also say that the female version is goddess. So God, therefore, then has a sex, you know, just because of the name. So I kind of don't like to use that. So that's why I generally say like the Creator or something in this aspect to separate. Because when you say the Creator, that's a more ambiguous thing. Like, you know, it's not defined as a gender or sex, and it can be a lot of different things what people try to imagine. I mean, of course, the reality, at least from an Islamic perspective, is that Allah or the Creator is unimaginable. I mean, by the very essence and everything that goes along with that, whatever you think about Allah, it's not what it is. So even though some of the words might be the same when we describe, when like you describe attributes or even like things like, for example, an easier way to explain this would be that if we were talking about things in Jannah or paradise. So if you, in our terminology, it would, maybe the word is milk, you know, like the milk of paradise. The only similar thing would be the actual name. That substance will not be any, it will be unlike any milk or anything that you have ever seen or thought of. It'll be a completely different thing. The only similarity will be words in Jannah. So there is that type of aspect. So when it comes to like attributes or qualities of Allah or the Creator, these are the same things. Like we can't possibly fathom an entity that is able to spontaneously create something. I mean, that's beyond our knowledge, beyond our scope of comprehending. And I think that when you accept that, I mean, even if you don't have to believe in Islam or any religion, but if you accept that the notion of something that created things is like this, that is a very humbling to yourself, and you feel smaller, and everything seems bigger, like the universe is bigger. Part of the descriptions of Allah is that Allah is bigger than the universe, you know, drastically. So, you know, when we really like sit back and contemplate things in this type of manner, and me personally, I like astronomy and this types of subjects, even though I'm not very educated on it, I do like it, and I do really like contemplating spatial distance, like the distance from us to the moon. Like last night was here in Minnesota. It was a very, very clear, crisp moon out. And so I often try to envision the actual space that's between Earth and the moon, and kind of realize that we're, you know, standing, even though we're small, we're basically like on a big rock, you know, hence the, you know, slang term of Earth being a rock and this type of thing. But we're on it, and over there is, you know, another big object. And between us, it appears that there's nothing, but we know that there are other objects that you can even see at night. If you can see satellites. I mean, I showed my 10-year-old a satellite about a month and a half ago. We camped out in the backyard, and we stayed up so I can show him these types of things. And from our house on a clear night, you can actually see the Milky Way. So it's not super grand looking, but you can see it. So I showed him these things. So he becomes aware, and it stimulates thoughts about these type of subjects, which I enjoy thinking about, so I would like my kid to as well. But at the same time, I hope to establish and broaden his mind and have him thinking about more grander things than our mundane subjects and things like this that we end up talking about. And hopefully it would stimulate, you know, ideas that he has. So like when we think about this space, you know, so we know this distance, and we know the distance to the next star and the size, you know, and then when we imagine our solar system and then our galaxy and then, you know, the bunch of other galaxies in the Milky Way, like this is a massively huge, unfathomably huge thing, right? So then we go further into that, and we have the Islamic descriptions of Allah or the Creator, and that Allah exists outside of our universe and yet is bigger than, you know, our universe, you know, and everything in creation. Allah is bigger than that. And the descriptions define him as massively bigger, you know. So when we try to think about, oh, are we going to see Allah? This thing, right, the concept of seeing, will we see Allah, right, has been debated, like, say, for example, on the day of resurrection, are we going to see Allah? Or in Jannah, are we going to see Allah? So this has been talked about and discussed a lot. And, you know, there is the thought that, yes, we will see Allah. And seeing Allah will be the, like, the greatest thing that you can ever put your eyes on, is seeing the Creator, you know. So these are interesting things. But anyway, the book I was reading, or I am reading, I'm still reading it, talks about these things. And one particular aspect that I found really interesting was the sound of Allah when Allah has spoke to prophets, right? So, hold on a second. All right, sorry about that. I needed to get a drink and the cat was on me. So the sound of Allah, I had never thought about this, so this is what I thought was really fascinating in this one particular thing, is that when the Quran and other, when the Quran speaks about Allah speaking, like, for example, let's talk about Moses, right? In Musa in Arabic, but in Islam we believe in Prophet Moses as well. And when Moses had initially had heard Allah speaking at the burning bush, right? In Islam, the wording of this there's a term called saut, S in English it would be spelled S-A-W-T. But the when you hear this term, or when this term is used with the speech of Allah. So, Moses said that he was at the area of the burning bush, and he said, when he heard Allah speak, he said, I hear your shout, but I don't see you. You know, that's what Moses said at the bush. And Allah responded, like, look around you, I am all around you, in this type of thing, and he heard him. But the point is that the sound and the speech of Allah are two different sounds, right? So, oh, excuse me. So you have the sound, and then you have the speech of Allah. And all the time that when Allah speaks in the Quran, and it's being described, there's always these two words mentioned. So they're two different things. So what is this? The sound of the sound? It's not the actual words that the prophets are hearing. That's not it. That's the speech of Allah. But while Allah's speech is going on, there's this other sound as well that they're hearing, you know. And even like, there's like, narrations where the angels would hear this too when Allah speaks to them. Basically, whenever Allah speaks, there's this sound as well. So, you know, I thought that was finally super interesting because for me, I am a very sound-oriented person and I really enjoy sound and the concept of sound, the ideas of sound, sound waves, how sounds work, all this type of thing. And I really think it's one of the senses that we don't pay much attention to generally, but when the sound isn't there, it's like a big thing, right? You notice like instantaneously there's no sound or what's wrong, something's wrong, or if the sound is even different, if something's weird about it, you notice it. For example, if you see movies and watch TV shows, you can tell like the really good sound when you hear it. And in fact, that was one of the things about the original Star Wars movie was that George Lucas, they created THX sound, and I believe that was the first time they had stereo sound in the movie theater, and that was like something that blew everyone away because the sound was all around them as opposed to just coming from the speakers that were, I guess, next to the screens back in the day. So you can see how it makes a big difference. And even now in movies and stuff, sound is huge. Like another big example of this, another like milestone sound type of movie was when Saving Private Ryan came out and they had the D-Day landing. That was like the sound of that was like really powerful. and you hear this in basically anything you listen to. And in music, you can tell with high-quality speakers and music equipment, you can hear the difference in sound quality. For example, you can hear bass, you know. And when you hear bass for the first time, like say you didn't have a subwoofer before and you just were hearing bass out of speakers or something, or let's take, for example, headphones, not like Beats type of headphones, but the earbuds. If that's your only type of hearing music, when you were to get into hearing speakers and say like with a subwoofer and high-end like mid tones and tweeters, the sound will sound different, you know. and you might hear like different sounds that you don't hear in these little speakers. For example, the bass, you know, a lot of people didn't know that there is deep end bass that you can't hear in, obviously in these little speakers, but you can in larger speakers. In any case, so you can see here, the point is that sound plays a big role. And look at deaf people, you know, or there's a lot of videos now that float around YouTube of people hearing for the first time due to getting some sort of surgery or hearing aids or something like this so they can actually hear their own voice for the first time. Now, we take that for granted, too. We hear ourselves speak, but deaf people can't hear that. You know, it's really hearing is sound, like the hearing and the way sound works is a huge, huge thing. And we're just so focused on visual stuff that we ignore a lot of our other senses. And even like smell and touch too, you know, these senses are really, really not used. I mean, they're used naturally by your body, like yourself, but you don't even pay attention to them as much as our visual stimulation. So when Allah speaks, there's sound, this sound, and one description of this sound is like a chain being dragged over a rock. So you know that I'm sure you can imagine what the sound is. So this sound would be going on, I guess, like a droning type of sound. I guess I'm using the word drone because to define like a background sound that's constant. and on top of that, you're hearing Allah speak. So what if, now this goes into the idea that I talked about the universe and Allah being outside of the universe and the size of the universe and all these types of things. What if that sound, because at this point, revelation is happening, right? Let's say, we'll go to the same example of Moses at the burning bush. Revelation is happening, which means Allah, the creator, and Moses, okay, let me mention something here. Moses, one of all prophets have like special, or not special, but unique aspects to them. That's only that one prophet has. So Moses, one of his things was that Allah spoke directly to Moses, as opposed to having like Angel Gabriel bring the revelation to Moses. With Moses, it was Allah speaking directly through to Moses, right? So we have this, and he's at the burning bush. So at this point, like a supernatural event is happening right now, right? The bush is burning, right? He's hearing this sound. And then he hears Allah speak to him. What if, I'm not saying this is what it is, but what if, or imagine, I won't even say what if, because that can get into like conjecture or something. So imagine that this is the sound of reality being pierced by an entity that is in a different reality, right? Or outside of our physical universe. That sound is like Allah physically like cracking this reality, you know, so that split is open at that point, you know, and that's when Moses is hearing this. He's seeing the burning bush that like Allah's presence essentially is happening right there. You know, then he hears him speak. I mean, to me, I thought this was kind of interesting. The same with sound. And I find it interesting because it's clearly described as two different things. So it's not like if I talk and there's like a crackling in my voice. It's not like the description of Allah's voice is that sound. That sound is a separate thing, you know, a separate sound from Allah's speech. So it made me, you know, think like, okay, well, we have to think like when these events happened, right? If you believe in prophets, you believe in revelation, you believe in a creator, no matter what religion we're talking about here, if you believe in these types of things, then you believe that supernatural events have happened, right? That's everything is a supernatural event at that point, right? it's going beyond what is natural, you know? So would the universe or reality be making a sound? Like if I hit the wall, right? There's going to be a sound from that, right? There's going to be a sound of my fist hitting, boom, boom, you know, I'll hit it, and that's the sound, you know? So maybe that sound is Allah cracking the reality, and, you know, that's like the sound of, not Allah cracking the reality, but reality being cracked. I guess that's a better way to do it. Like if you rip a piece of paper, there's the sound of a tear, you know? perhaps like the opening of reality is this sound, you know, and that's Allah intervening with the reality is creating this sound happening. I don't know. And I'm not saying that's what it is. I just had this thought that I thought was extremely interesting based on this type of thing. And based on the fact that Moses said, I hear your shout, but I don't see you. You know, that's like some interesting phrase that went on, you know. When I thought about this, then I thought like, man, like, imagine what it sounded like when the Red Sea split open. You know, I don't envision like when Moses was fleeing from the Pharaoh with the Israelites and they had to cross the Red Sea. I don't envision it being like this sunny afternoon. Like in my mind, it's like thunders going off, crackling of like lightning, the sea, like the water is spreading. So imagine the sound of that. Like we know if you've ever been to the beach, like the ocean, and you're standing on the coast, the ocean is loud. You know, you hear waves and waves crashing. So imagine the waves when the sea split. You know, like the water makes a sound, like the top would have crested, you know, like, you know, these types of things. Like what, imagine just like how the imagery of this type of miracle could be, you know. You're standing there and you're seeing like the water just open up, you know, and Moses is like, let's go, we're going through here. You know, that would be the image, the sound, the smell. You know, you would be smelling the floor of the sea, you know, like you smell what, like if you're around water, you know, there's smell that when the water, when something's wet, like you, even if you block the, you're at a little stream or a creek or something and you block it, you can smell the little wet spot of the area, you know. These types of things. Sound plays a big part in all this, as do all our senses, but it's often, like I said, something that we negate. And the thing that makes it, you know, more fascinating is that revelation is through sound. You know, it wasn't through visual. There are visual aspects of revelation, of course, but revelation is always a sound type of thing. You know, it's the creator speaking to the creation. You know, that's the revelation. It's not like a vision that people have. You know, like the prophets don't prophesize about visions as being the revelations. They might have like a futuristic prophecy that's a vision, but the actual revelation, like the Ten Commandments, you know, these are, you know, sound. It's not like, you know, those are what God said to Moses, you know. So, yeah, man, this is like just like a really, to me, like I said, an interesting thing. I was really, really getting into it, and I find this book to be fascinating. When I'm done, I might find something other interesting to talk about it. But it is pretty good, these types of things. So until next time, you can send me an email if you want. My email is strangermartel@gmail.com. That's the email for this podcast, and that will go to me. You can find me on Facebook if you have Facebook, but to be honest, I kind of haven't been using Facebook much lately. But you can always send me a message through Facebook if you have something interesting to say, or I don't know, just want to be like, that was stupid what you said. So until next time, have a good one. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.